Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
That's what I long to see happen again. Had it happen a few times in my life where we, the whole congregation, everybody, experienced the glory of God's presence. And we were so overwhelmed that nobody wanted to do anything to interrupt the presence of the Lord. Those are special, special treasured moments you never forget. And by the way, on this pulpit, you may not have ever seen up here, we began, it says, the scripture of Paul, I'd like you to remember this and pray this when you come in here, that Paul said, I pray that my speech and my preaching is not with man's enticing words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that the faith of those I preach to should not stand on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's what we need. Power of God. Let's just welcome the Holy Spirit again. Let's just welcome. We welcome you. It's your church. It's your church. Whatever you want to do, it's your church. Help us long for what you long for. Help us to want what you want. Desire what you want. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We'll throw away our agenda. We want your agenda. Demonstration of your presence and your glory is worth 1,000 sermons. Amen and amen. Amen. Just welcome you. Praise God. Would you really pray the dangerous prayer of say, God, I welcome you to mess me up? Even mess up my hair. I welcome you to mess up. Mess me up. Amen. That's a good song. Whoever wrote that, that's a great song. Praise God. I want to give opportunity. Is there testimony here? Go ahead and be seated. Is there testimony here tonight of God answering prayer? And I think there is. I think there's one coming right now. Hold that close to you, brother. Okay. Hold
it close. I'd just like to thank everybody that had prayers for us in the last few days. And it's just an absolute pleasure to be here.
Praise the Lord.
And what I want to say that Tick didn't say is that the Holy Spirit was with us through all of this. And we had a major miracle yesterday.
Wow.
I won't go into exactly what it was all about, but we're going through a real difficult court case. And the Holy Spirit was with us, and Jesus was with us, one on one side of him and one on the other.
Amen.
And
that's awesome.
It was a 2.5-hour miracle. Wow. Let me just tell you that. It was a 2.5-hour miracle.
Awesome.
Thank you, God.
That's precious. That's awesome. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Michelle. That's awesome. Anybody else? Well, that's wonderful. I'm excited. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate how Michelle puts the right songs in there for about the Holy Spirit. We're getting to know the Holy Spirit better. One thing about the Holy Spirit that I really loved how Jesus described, he said he's like the wind. You know, you don't always see where he's coming from or where he's going. It's true. Yeah, you don't know where he's going always, but if you let him lead, he'll get you to where you're supposed to go. I try to do that. I make plans. I think you ought to plan, but I hold those plans loosely because he may want to modify something. Amen. We had a good elders retreat. We'll talk a little bit about that Sunday morning, show you a few pictures, and we'll talk a little bit more about the outcome of that. It was really good. Really good. It's always good when you get. We have a great group of elders, I tell you. We really, really do. And a great board of directors, I tell you. God is really doing something mightily here. I'm very just glad to be a part of it. Pam and I are. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thankful. Thankful. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. And we have a great God. And we have a great Holy Spirit. And a great body of Christ. It's amazing. You guys are awesome. You just don't know how awesome you are. Because I see God working in you in a great way, greater than I've ever seen.
Hallelujah.
Really. I'm going to talk to you tonight, Lord willing, here about spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. If you're born again, you have spiritual gifts. You do. And you can operate in spiritual giftings from God. And so tonight, that's the subject, and we're going to be looking at some scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. Can you bring up the PowerPoint? Is it not working? Nope. Back up, title. Spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. There you go. Okay. So we're going to look in 1 Corinthians 12 as one place, and we'll look at Romans 12. There's actually four specific places that mention spiritual gifts in a list, and it's 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4. And those are areas where spiritual gifts are mentioned. So tonight, you're going to learn something you did not know. You're going to walk out of here saying, you know, I didn't know that. It's going to help you. Okay, so get ready. We're going to go quickly. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, Paul writes to the church and says, I do not want you to be ignorant or without knowledge. I want you to know this. This is important stuff. There are various gifts, but the same Spirit. Amen. Various gifts, but the same Spirit. And the word gifts there is where we get the word charis, like we have charis Bible College here, Charis Bible School. And charis means grace. That's the Greek word, grace. It's an unearned grace gift from God that produces a motivation to do something. And we'll get to that in a moment. So when gifts are given to the church, people are motivated to do something, and the motivation's coming from God. That's a good thing. Now, he goes on to describe this. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, 5, there are various gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. Now, these are key words. I'm bringing out the Greek so I can prove a point in a moment as I divide up spiritual gifts so you can understand them, take them home in your understanding and look them over. So there are varieties, there are various gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different administrations. Everybody say administrations. Administrations is a Greek word, and the Greek word there is diakonia, from which you get the word deacon or servant. So he's saying there are different kinds of service or ministry. So everybody say there's different kinds of ministry. Good. So we have gifts, which are grace gifts from God. Then we have administrations, different kinds of ministries. Different gifts have different ministries. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the common good. And the word manifestation just simply is the Greek word energema, from which we get our word energy. And it means the manifestation. How about that? Perfect. So we break this down and you can see that gifts, charis, means a motivation from God. God puts his gift in you, which is a motivation to do something. But then you have various administrations, which are various ministries. And then you have various manifestations. So the categories of spiritual gifts, and here's not, they're not all there, but here's a big variety of, you have motivational gifts, you have ministry gifts, and then you have manifestations. And we're going to break this down so that you can understand what your gift is or giftings are. So God is a God of variety, is he not? Think about this. How many different kinds of palm trees are there? How many different kinds of orange trees? How many different kinds of roses? He's a God of variety. When you say palm tree, there's all kinds. And so God is a God of great variety, and the same thing is true with spiritual giftings. So when Paul first teaches about spiritual gifts, he does so in Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, Paul uses the same word for gifts, charis, that he uses in Romans 12, 4. So he's speaking about motivations in your heart. Now look at this scripture in Romans 12. It's rather lengthy, but let me read it for you. For just as we have many parts in one body, and not all the parts of the body have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and all the parts of one another. We have diverse gifts according to the grace given us. If prophecy, according to proportion of faith. If service and serving and teaching and teaching and who encourages and encouragement. He who gives with generosity, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. He mentions seven gifts, seven motivations, seven charises, seven motivations, seven motivational gifts in a body. He likens the church or the Christians to a human body that all has different parts. You have hands, you have feet, you have eyes, you have a nose, you have a mouth. They all have different purposes. And so he says it's the same way. So basically he's broke this down when he uses the word gifts and says there are seven motivational gifts. Seven motivational gifts. Every born-again Christian has one of these motivations. One of these motivations. This is coming from your heart now. And the seven motivational gifts are mentioned in Romans 12. There's prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving. Some versions call it leadership. Some say it's administration. It's an organizer, or we should say administrator. A leader could be an administrator, someone who has good organizational skills and can see how to get things done. And then the gift of mercy. So you have these seven motivational gifts. You, if you're born again, you have one of these as your motivation. It's your heart motivation. You're going to operate in a variety of gifts, but your heart motivation for every gift that God uses you in, whether it's a word of knowledge or whatever it may be, will come from one of these heart motivations. So back to that list there, you see, you have one of these. Okay? So your heart motivation gift causes you to see things a certain way that others may not see. This is why it's important to learn about spiritual gifts, because you learn to respect one another when they don't see things the way you see them. I'm going to prove a point here in a moment. So your heart motivation causes you to see things a certain way that another person who is a born-again Christian may not see the same way. So the church is compared to a human body with various parts, but all of them have to work together to see the whole picture. You may see a part. You may see a part. And your parts may not look alike at that moment, and you may disagree, but you got to realize you have to come together in unity to see the whole picture. So we're a body. We're a body. And we need one another to see the whole picture. I don't have it all. You don't have it all. This is the way God designed us to operate on the earth spiritually. Here's a classic example. Let's say Pam makes one of her drop-dead, delicious, gorgeous chocolate cakes. And she brought it tonight, and we're all going to get to have a piece. Woohoo! Yay. And she gives it to me. Yeah. And she brings it to me, and I am going to go over here, and I'm going to set it on a table right down here in the middle of everybody. And all of a sudden, I trip, and I fall, and this cake just splatters all over the floor. Splatters all over you ladies. You start cussing at me. Hopefully not. And so this chocolate cake that Pam made is just splattered everywhere. Go back to those 7 motivational gifts. Everybody is going to see this a different way. Now, I'm illustrating this in a silly, ridiculous way, but to make a point, okay? So the person who operates in the gift of prophecy usually sees everything black and white. There's no gray area. You're either right or you're wrong. They're really good about justice. They're not really good about a lot of mercy. So the prophetic person is going to see this issue. And what are they going to say? Now, we're just talking ridiculous a little bit, okay? But we're amplifying all of this to make a point. How's the prophet going to interpret this? I stumbled and I dropped the cake. What's the prophetic person who is very black and white, who's like my wife, sees everything a certain way, how are they going to interpret that? What happened? You weren't paying attention. Maybe God's trying to teach you a lesson. Okay, we're being ridiculous, okay? All right. So let's say the service person, the person who loves to serve, who's a behind-the-scenes person. Now, their heart motivation is they love to serve people. They don't want to be up in front of everybody. What's the person who serves, the servant heart? How are they going to interpret that situation with the cake splattered everywhere? They're going to be the first ones on the floor with paper towels, and they're going to be cleaning it up without even being asked. That's their heart motivation. The teacher who likes to break everything down and explain why things happen and how are things going to happen and all the 7 steps and all this, how are they going to interpret that? Well, you know, you didn't have the right shoes. It's the carpet that's there. You know, maybe the temperature wasn't right. Maybe you got a little dizzy. I mean, you're just being ridiculous. You know, they're going to explain why. The encourager. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Okay. The giver. What did you say, Derry?
Everybody get a spoon and eat off the top.
That's right. We can eat it on the floor. What's the giver going to say? The giver. Don't worry. We go down here to Publix. We'll get another cake. I have it here in 10 minutes. What's the organizer going to say? You get the garbage can, you go get the vacuum cleaner, you go get the pail, you go get the broom, you go get... Are you seeing how this is working? What's the mercy person, the person motivated with mercy? What are they going to go do? You must be humiliated. I feel so bad for you. It's a ridiculous illustration, but it's to prove a point, a very serious... This is how motivational gifts work in the church. Nobody has the whole picture. You need every one of these to see things the way God sees them. And now we have conflict in the church because certain people are going to understand... Mercy people don't understand why the prophetic people or the prophecy people are so harsh. You know, there's a conflict. That's why a body has to work together, has to respect one another in the spirit, has to respect their gifting and their calling and what they have and what they don't have if they're going to stay together as a body. Are you with me? So we're seeing in a ridiculous illustration how motivational gifts work. Now, if you've heard me preach and teach to you on Wednesdays and Sundays, do you know, I've probably told you many times, but those of you who I haven't told directly, what is my motivational gift out of those seven? Encouraging. Whether I'm teaching, I want to encourage you. That's my motivation. That's the way God wired me. That's in my heart. My heart is to encourage, whether it's teaching, even if it's correcting, if it's leading, it's to encourage. That's my heart motivation. So with everything I operate in, whether it's teaching, preaching, prophecy, it's coming from a heart of motivation. See, all these giftings, you have one of these, and that is your main motivation of your heart is to, if it's a teacher, you want to explain things to people because people need to understand. They don't know. They need to understand. You see, you come at life with everything you do with that heart motivation that you have, and you're the part of the body of the Christ that we need. When we have several encouragers, lots of them. How many of you in here would say, that's my motivational gift? I'm an encourager. Okay, I can spot that in you. If we were around talking very much, we would pick up on one another because it takes one to know one, right? We would know each other. If you're a mercy, it wouldn't take long to spot that, oh man, you're a mercy because you're just ooze with compassion. Mercy people make great counselors. But sometimes they don't know how to cut it off. And they'll counsel till the cows come home and so forth. So each one of these places have, these giftings have a great place in the body of Christ. We got to help people know what their giftings are and the best place they can operate. Now, Romans 12 verses 4 through 6, paraphrase. Look at this on the screen. There are various motivations of the Holy Spirit given with various ministries which have various manifestations, but it's the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. See, an encouraging gift's not going to come out the same way out of you as it will out of me. There's variety there. God's a God of variety. So if you have a gift of encouragement, your gift of encouragement may come out different than it will with me. It's just different. Just the uniqueness of you. Look at your fingerprint. Nobody else has your fingerprint. Nobody. Of all time. Of the billions of people that come and go on the planet, nobody ever has your set of fingerprints. Isn't that amazing? I mean, isn't God like he ran out of them and has to recycle them after people die? No, that's not. He doesn't do that. They're unique, and you're also unique in your spiritual gifting. Your spiritual gifting, even though you're an encourager or whatever it may be, is still unique about you. You have a unique way about you that I cannot copy. I cannot duplicate. Yeah. It's a certain stamp that only you can bring to the body of Christ. That's what makes you so special. Nobody can replace you. You're irreplaceable. Because no one's exactly like you. Now, spiritual gifts are like electrical appliances in your house. You have many different appliances. How many appliances do you have? You have toasters, your refrigerator, you have stove, microwaves, mixers, all those things. They perform various services and different effects. According to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, we all have one motivational gift, but various ministry gifts. One motivational gift. Everybody say that. One motivational gift. You're not schizophrenic. You can still be merciful, you can still be high in certain areas, but your dominant motivational gift is one of those seven. You may operate in the others, but you're dominant. It's where the one you just can continually operate in. That's your motivational gift. But you have various ministry gifts. Various ministry gifts, not just one, but various ministry gifts. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As everyone has received a gift, Even so, serve one another with it as good stewards of the manifold, the many folds, the various grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone serves, let him serve with the strength that God supplies. So they're speaking gifts and they're serving gifts. You can operate in both of those. These are ministry gifts. There are speaking gifts. There's a list of them that will come up now about prophesying, tongues, interpretation of tongues, teaching, preaching, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Speaking gifts given to the church to edify the church. Then there's service gifts. Faith is a service gift. Miracles is a service gift. It's not for you, it's for the body. God operates miracles through people. You know, and gifts of healing, gifts, it's plural. Notice, not one gift, gifts of healing. Now, we all lay hands on the sick, and we all do evangelism, and we do these things, but sometimes there's a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit that no one can lay claim to other than it's just the grace of God at work. Discerning of spirits. And so we begin to see that this begins to be a pretty big deal here with us in the church. And we also know that there's the fivefold ministry gifts. Now, these are offices, the fivefold. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, God says that he gives these particular gifts to the church at large. In other words, these are offices that have a higher degree of, I don't know if I'd say anointing, but of qualification maybe behind them. And he mentions the fivefold gifts are apostle, there's a prophet, there's an evangelist, there's a pastor, and there's a teacher. Sometimes they put pastor, teacher together, and that can be. But in a sense, there are fivefold equipping gifts given to the church. This is to help the church to grow. These are leadership gifts. These are leadership gifts. And if you take your hand, for example, you have five fingers in Ephesians 4, you can kind of remember it this way. The thumb would be the apostle. The pointer finger would be the prophet. You're going the wrong direction or you're going the right direction. The largest finger would be the evangelist. Win people to Christ, the Great Commission. The ring finger or the next to the little finger would be the pastor or the shepherd. And the little finger would be the teacher. You need them all. And notice, only the thumb, the apostle, can touch all four of these. This, you know, he can reach around touching this guy, and this they can't do touch. This guy can't touch this guy unless I break my fingers or something. But the point is that the apostle, it's not like he's more important than anybody else. The word apostle just means one sent. Usually they're starters. They're the ones that start churches. Missionaries, you could say, are apostolic. They're one sent. They're sent on a mission from God, sent to start something, sent to start a ministry, sent to start a church or whatever. So the apostle sometimes has to operate in all of these gifts. But even though that's not his major, he has to operate in these gifts until God sends these others to the church and the church receives them. So the apostle's the one sent, the guy who sends his, God uses to start the church or whatever. He's apostolic in that sense, but he may operate in the prophetic. We all do the work of an evangelist. We all have to win souls. And pastor just simply means shepherd, means to care for people. So if you're in a group, a Bible study group, as you are, Dennis, in a way, you're pastoring, you and Peggy are pastoring that group of people. See? And teaching. Don't get hung up with titles. You know, that's one thing we're not big on here. We're not big on like, call somebody this name and that name and all that. And sometimes that can give you a big ego and get in the way. You can do the work of an apostle and never be called an apostle. I don't have that on my card. Maybe I should, Pam. You know, Abraham had Sarah call him Lord. I think that's a good idea. Yeah, right. That ain't going to work, you know. So you don't worry about the title. Don't get hung up on all that. But so you have an apostle, you have a prophet, you have an evangelist, pastor, teacher. And this is to help the church get organized and help the church to function. And you need all of that. You need all of that. And it takes time to discern that. It takes time to recognize these gifts. But those are leadership gifts to the church. But yet, even though there's prophets, everybody's called to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14. The difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet is this. The Old Testament prophet could not be wrong. If he were wrong, he would be stoned to death. New Testament prophet could be wrong. He could be wrong. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 14, we can all prophesy that we all may learn. So we may make a mistake in learning process. So we have to be gracious with one another. In fact, if you're learning, you will make a mistake. Michelle, did you ever make a mistake when you were practicing piano? Never, huh? Wow. Never. You never made a mistake. My gift is aggravation. I hear you. That's my gift. That's an aggravation. So we have all these various gifts. They come from the Holy Spirit. But we have to be led by the Spirit. We have to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And we also have to be gracious and loving with one another while we're learning. No one has perfected all of this. Only Jesus perfected it. What about if you all of a sudden you get a word of knowledge, for example? A word of knowledge is exactly what it says. It's a word that God gives you about something, about someone or something, about a situation that you would not know on your own, you would not pick up in the natural. It's a word that the Holy Spirit tells you, a word of knowledge that He gives you that you are to be able to go and share with somebody so that it'll open up opportunity for ministry. For example, when Jesus went to the woman at the well and He started a natural conversation with her, hey, it's hot, would you mind giving me a drink? They start a conversation back and forth. She says, wow, you're Jewish, I can tell. What are you doing talking to a Samaritan woman? You Jews don't talk to, you know. And then He begins to talk to her and the Spirit gives Him a word of knowledge about her. He says, why don't you go call your husband? And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And He says, you're exactly right. In fact, you've lived with five men, and the guy you're living with right now is not your husband. And she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. That just strikes me funny. I don't know why. It's just hilarious. Jesus had a sense of humor, you know. Yeah. But that was a word of knowledge. And Jesus operated in that. Peter, the apostle in the New Testament church, you got to remember the time Ananias and Sapphira came before him. He had a word of knowledge. They came and, you know, he did first. Oh, we're giving this money, this gift to the church because people were bringing it. During that revival, people were bringing large sums of money and presenting it at the apostles' feet as the church was starting up and bringing these great gifts. And so Ananias comes in and says, we're giving this great gift. And he was trying to get some honor or some recognition or something out of that. And the Lord gave him a word of knowledge. He's not giving everything like he said. He's lying. And Peter called him on it. He said, you know, the Lord showed me that that's not true. I mean, it was within His power to either give all of it or not give it all. But God didn't want the hypocrisy, the lying to start in the church and corrupt what was so pure at that moment in the church. God stopped it and called him on the carpet with a word of knowledge. So Peter had this word of knowledge and said, no, you've not given all. Didn't get all the money that you got out of that. You're only giving a portion. Why do you want to lie to the Holy Spirit? Why do you want to grieve God? And he fell down dead that moment. And a few moments later, Sapphira, his wife, came in and said the same thing. Oh, we've just given all this money. Big show. For what reason? The word of knowledge came again. Peter said, The same men that took your husband's body out of here just a little bit ago is going to take you out of here. You're going to die. Boom, she dropped dead. Spiritual gifts are very real. They're not toys. We need to respect Amen. And allow the Holy Spirit to operate through you. Listen, you may not even know that God wants to use you in a certain way. One of the worst things you can ever do, as I've said many times before, is go to a church you feel comfortable. God wants to stretch you, especially in the area of spiritual gifts. If he gives you a gift for some reason, it's not just for you, it's for the body of Christ, it's for somebody else. So let's say he gives you a word of knowledge tonight. Before you leave, boom, he drops a piece of knowledge down inside you. You don't perceive it by reading body language. You don't pick up on words that you've heard and things like that. But God just drops some knowledge to you supernaturally about somebody, and he wants you to go minister to them. And you need to go and allow the Holy Spirit the opportunity to use you. Amen. And don't worry about the outcome. But go over and maybe talk to somebody. Start up a conversation and just see where it goes and see if the door opens where you can say, you know, God showed me something tonight and I want to say this. Does this make any sense to you? And you share that. And next thing you know, they're crying and they're bawling and they're saying, how could you have known that? How could you have known that? And then you know, well, that was a word of knowledge. I did not know that. That was just God. So there's a risk element involved. Any time that you are led by the Spirit, we call risk taking a step of faith. And you cannot exercise true faith without some risk.
That's right.
What if I get it wrong? Yeah, right. What if you get it right?
Yeah, that's right.
You won't know until you try. You have to step up to the plate and you've got to swing the bat. Even if you close your eyes, you know, you see little kids do that. They close their eyes and they swing the bat, but you could still hit. But you're not going to hit anything like this. Strike one, strike two, strike three. You've got to swing the bat. You've got to try. What if I make a mistake? So what? I'm sorry, I missed it. I thought God was leading me this way, and I found out that it was just me, my emotions. You learn.
Great.
You get a word of prophecy. Whenever God uses me in prophecy, it's always to encourage. Remember, that's my motivation. So he may give me a word of prophecy. And it's never been for me like, thus saith the Lord, boom, 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 boom. It's never been like that. It's always been an encouragement where I can go to someone and say, you know, I just feel impressed in my heart that God wants you to start ministering to people, or God wants you to use you, or I don't know. I can't think of something right now off the top of my head, but he wants to use you in a greater way than what you're doing. And I just deliver that. And they may not even say, hey, wow, that's a prophecy. It could be a prophecy. It's meant to encourage you, edify you, build you up. And so, you know, God has a variety of ways in which he will use you different than the way he'll use me. Sometimes he may give you a word of wisdom, especially if you're working with a group of people and you have a problem with something and you don't know how to solve this problem. And I see this, I saw this the other day, Brenda, with our board of directors. I see the word of wisdom to me coming out of that collective group, the board, because everybody had a little part to bring in something, and yet collectively, I think the board of directors had a great word of wisdom as far as dealing with, you know, our next security person and all that. So just to me, that's a word of wisdom, and it came through to a group of people, wisdom of God. So that when the body works together, the gifts just flow so natural that you may not have goosebumps, you may not hear angels singing. It's just a natural thing. It just clicks. It just comes together. It's just a flow of the Holy Spirit.
I just wanted to say that as you're talking about that, we need to let everything be done. you know, God's word says let everything be done decently and in order, but we need to let everything be done. Let people try mm-hmm. their spiritual mm-hmm. gifts.
Right.
And don't say negative things about them because maybe it wasn't the right word for you. Well, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Just be glad that they're trying their spiritual gift. Like mm-hmm. the Bible said, let it all be done decently and in order, but let it all be done.
Right, right.
And so we need to allow people to do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Great day if we wouldn't have been able to try gifts. I mean, where would we be, you know? I mean, you'd never grow.
You'd never step out.
And I just want you to just do what Joyce Meyer said, just do it afraid.
Amen.
You know, because normally at first we are afraid to go up to someone and say, you know, and I'm like, Pastor, I would never just say, thus saith the Lord. I just usually say, I feel like the Spirit of God wants me to tell you this. And then I just say it. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. But I feel like at least I stepped out. And that's how, just do it afraid. Mm-hmm. If God, if you feel something here, just do it afraid. If you're scared to talk to people, mm-hmm. you know, about something, like, what if I get it wrong? Just do it.
Amen.
But
God wants to activate this church into gifts. And it's not a hokey, spooky, weird thing. It's a perfectly natural thing for the body of Christ to function with the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Perfectly natural. And one of the things that we have to do as a body is not judge people. We judge the gifts, but we don't judge people. We recently had some people come into our fellowship that they can actually see angelic creatures, and they see it quite often and see it very vivid. And, you know, they sometimes come and tell you things and see things and tell you things. And that would be discerning of spirits, you know, picking up on the spiritual atmosphere. And it's not anything I can go really judge at that moment, but you just over a period of time, you just kind of go, okay, interesting. And you don't judge the person and say, oh, they're weird, they're crazy, they're not right. You judge the giftings, and over a period of time, that will become clear to you, either that is or that isn't. We used to have a deliverance minister here, David, who was very gifted in discerning of spirits. He would see things in the spirit realm, still does. And he would come up to me in the service and he'd say, I see this here and I see that there. He's, don't you see it? And I'd look around and I'd go, no, I don't see it. He said, you don't see that? And I said, no, I don't see it. He could see it, but I couldn't see it in the spirit. And, you know, it took a while, but because I knew him and I knew his heart, I didn't judge him.
Amen.
You don't judge the person. What if they get it wrong? Well, they're human. Guess what? We're all going to get it wrong. But God wants to activate this church with the gifts of the Spirit where it just flows like a river, 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 river. And you are all very gifted people.
Amen.
You all have gifts that God wants to flow through you. Motivational gift as well as other giftings. Now, let's just quickly go around. Can you bring up that slide, please, of the 7 motivational gifts? Let's start there for a moment. Last few minutes that we have, starting with prophecy, teaching, and 7 motivational gifts. Every born again Christian has one. Okay, how many of you here would say, yeah, I'm a black and white person. Everything is black and white to me. There's no gray area. You're either right or wrong, and sometimes, you know, I call it like I see it. How many of you would say prophecy is my motivational? Doesn't mean you're a prophet. It means you operate in the gift of prophecy. So if that sounds like you, if I describe you, just raise your hand up real quick. Yeah, that's true of you, Joe. That's true of you. That's true. I know that of you. Okay. Okay. Raw? Yeah. Okay. Very good. How many of you would say, my passionate desire is to serve? I'm a servant. I don't ever want to be in front of anybody. I like to serve behind the scenes. I like to help people. That's Brian and Jenny. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Is that you, Dan? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Steve, that's you. Okay. Elaine. Okay. Okay. Ron, that's good. And if you have a spouse, your spouse can confirm that to you. Oh yeah, that's definitely you. A teaching gift. That is, I just love to teach. I love to break it down. I love to explain it to people. Ron, I know that's you. Yeah, that's you, definitely. Coach, okay. Elaine, okay. Okay. Well, one of these is your dominant. You say, well, I may operate in... Well, one is more dominant than the other. You can take spiritual gifts tests online, and sometimes they help, sometimes they confuse you. But you have one more dominant. How many encouragers? You say, my heart is to encourage. That's all I want to do is encourage. Wow, look at this. That's wonderful. That's great. Okay, and giving, a giver doesn't have to be somebody with a lot of money to give. It's not always giving money. It's just giving time. You can give yourself. It's a helps ministry. Anybody here has that gift of giving? Okay, you go to their house and you'll walk away with something, right? You can't help, but you're going to give them something. Is that true, Dick? I mean, she's going to give you something, right? One of the greatest givers that we've ever known was a man who didn't have anything. He lived in the poverty level. Lived on a Social Security check. As soon as he got his Social Security check, he was the happiest guy in the world. He went and cashed it, and his great joy was going around and helping people. He'd buy them canned goods, buy them prescription, buy them things, and he didn't have anything. And yet, that was his greatest joy. But he was probably the best giver that I've ever seen. He didn't have the means to give, but he loved giving. And now a ruler, an organizer, is a person who can come in and say, hey, this needs to be here, 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 here. Paula's got that gift, no doubt. Organizer, organizer, organizer. Come help me with my garage, please. I need you people. Please, help us. We need you at our house. Gift of mercy, just extremely compassionate. A good listener. Someone will take time with you. I see that in you. I see that in you. Good. And Rose? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Well, you have special places in the body. Each church needs you and your dominant gifting, your heart motivation in certain areas. You will flourish. You will cause the church to flourish in certain areas where if you're in the right place, the right position, oh my goodness, everyone around you will notice the difference that you make when you're there. And it's because of the grace of God that's on you. It's the grace of God that's on you. I jokingly say this, and I'm joking a little bit. At one point of my time before being born again, I joked around. I don't know how serious I was. I said, I'm going to be a bartender when I grow up. I'm going to have a nightclub and a bar and all that kind of stuff. Well, this is it. I'm a spiritual bartender. I offer up the new wine. The purpose is people come in fellowship. They can talk about their problems. We gather together. We what?
Serve the spirits.
That's true. But you can see in the natural how some of these things parallel. But the Spirit has been working in you even before birth. Like he told Jeremiah, I called you to be a prophet to the nations, even before you were born. God has a plan for your life. But he wants you to flourish, and that means getting in your gifted area, the right spot, and begin to let it all come out. And when it does, people around you are going to be mightily blessed, extremely much more than they would be in the natural because of spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. Thank you for spiritual gifts. If you don't know what yours is, don't feel bad right now. Just ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit. Help me to identify what my gifting is and the area that you want me to function in where I can flourish and see the kingdom of God flourish. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Yes, sir.
I said this before you close.
Sure.
The Old Testament says your gift will make room for you.
Yeah.
And in the New Testament, he said, I give you gift to get whipped. In other words, you got to practice the gift to know the gift that God gives you.
That's right.
If you don't practice, you don't know whether or not it's real.
That's true. You have to experiment.
You understand
actually.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, you do have to practice. That's exactly right. Well, thank you, God, for the body of Christ. It's so receptive to you, Holy Spirit, and we are just excited about the days ahead where the gifts of God are going to just flourish in this place, and there's going to be a mighty flow like a river, and we all join together in union, in oneness, in unity of the Spirit, and letting the Spirit lead us and develop us. So I want you to pray this part with me out loud. Holy Spirit,
help me to
discover my motivational gift and my ministry gifts. And Holy Spirit,
help me to
develop these gifts and grow
and mature
and see the effectiveness
of the church
manifest
in
great grace
in Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks. Thanks for being here tonight.
See you Sunday.